Good evening, everybody. This is Brian Powers. We are here for January 15th NJRR Live with my comrade, Diane Moxley. Hi, Diane. How are you? Did you turn on your microphone yet? You have the little switch? No, it's not. Yeah, a little switch. Switch. How many podcasters does it take to turn a microphone on for introductions?
Is it on now?
There, it's on now. There you go. All right. So, Diane Moxley, and we're here to talk to you about the world of social justice and activism going on around New Jersey. Tonight's a big show, an important one, and we're going to start off with just a little brief intro. We talked a little bit before we went live. I apparently am the only one that watched the whole State of the State address. Am I the only one that watched the whole State of the State address? Some people did some reading on it. Anything? Nobody really cared.
A little bit of reading.
Okay. All right. What parts of it did you see, at least? You know, take the microphone, please, so they can't hear you online unless you're talking.
Thank you. So for me, the one thing that stuck out with me was education. I think that's a biggie. I think we could take a breath and pat ourselves on the back in the state of New Jersey. We do have the number one education system in the country, which is saying a lot, but it's still not really coming as far as it needs to. There's still a lot of underfunded school districts in the state of New Jersey. Education is definitely not equitable throughout the state of New Jersey.
Yeah, that's what I thought when I heard that part.
Advancements. K-12 education, they just passed a bill saying that they were going to bring climate change into the national, into the statewide curriculum, which is important, do a lot of work fighting anti-Semitism, which is important. There's the program that he mentioned called the Amistad Commission.
Yes, NJEA. That was big. When I heard him talk about that, I got really
excited. Was cool. I was at the NJEA conference last month with my wife. I'm an NJEA member, and they had Cornel West come and speak. And it was great, and he got everybody revved up. And then Phil Murphy came, and it was like, all right, you know, not as revved up as a bit. But, you know, I'm not going to come out here and go to bat for Murphy. But I think there's some headway being made in education, and I'll leave it there.
Yeah. I was, you know, many points of disagreement. A lot of it I heard talking about saving Obamacare.
Yeah.
And a lot of one of the things, I mean, like I said, I'm not going to bash dear leader this whole time, of course. But, I will find some points of agreement. So I noticed the Amistad, and not only that, that's the Amistad journey plan.
Yeah.
Where they're going to send teachers to Africa and follow the route of the Amistad and learn about the African culture that.
Yeah.
We stole and brought over here. And I think that's really important and really great. And I know that the People's Organization for Progress had done some lobbying behind the scenes on that, and a lot of different organizations, NJEA. Did Black Lives Matter do anything around that?
A couple of our Newark chapter actually was working with POP.
Great. So, you know, congratulations. I know it may not be a done battle, but it's certainly having the governor put it on his priorities, knows that it's in the dialogue now. And that's been another one. It's been going on a while. I heard about Amistad a few years back. That ain't new. So, you know, it's sometimes these things take too long. That's one of them.
I would just say it's shocking that it took until 2020 to have a curriculum like that. It's just
it takes too long to do anything good.
Horrible. What's that? Yeah, I guess that's naive of me. I apologize. Yeah, but it's wrong. Instead of being shocked, just say it's messed up, but it's expected for where we're at. Yeah. Okay.
Oh, I know. Yeah, we got to go. That's okay. That's fine. Okay. I'm getting directions over here. Sorry. My bad. The part that I noticed, so Akian, the one part where the narrative got good for Murphy, and when it kind of went on, you know, went on the lines of, you know, things are broken and things are toxic in Trenton, which is something I spent a couple of years in Trenton. I spent some time in the state house. I did some lobbying work, and it was certainly noticeable that everybody's just lying to each other and cutting throats. And the things that women are saying are absolutely true. I mean, there's nothing out there right now about the culture in Trenton that's not true. It's worse than what you hear. I'll be honest with you from what I personally seen and what I personally experienced. So him addressing that toxic culture and talking about transparency in government and talking about taxing millionaires and, you know, this equitable, you know, taxation system that he wants. And then seeing those two jackasses stand behind him, Coughlin and Sweeney, stone-faced. The whole room's applauding for the millionaire's tax. Sweeney's looking at his feet because, you know, this, you know, guy is all, I mean, you know how, I mean, these are simple things. These are like minor reforms for my politics. And I know most of us consider us a little more to the left of Phil Murphy. Mm-hmm. You know, and they've got a room cheering for this millionaire's tax, which is still just a drop in the bucket. And there's Sweeney and Coughlin looking like they're at a funeral, man. Like, oh, you can't tax those millionaires, man. It's really pathetic. They're pathetic. Both of them are pathetic human beings. Huh? Yeah. Well, I lost all respect for Craig when instead of talking to a constituent, he had him arrested. Because our state assembly did, Senator did, during the Cosecha rallies and lead up to the driver's license, they said, talk to us. He wouldn't talk to him. They sat in front of his door, and rather than show up or even call him, they said, you call him on the phone, they'll talk to you. He had him arrested instead of talking to one of his constituents. So, you know, I don't care. And now he's protecting millionaires.
I would say it's a shame that the lockdown of the State House occurred during the Chris Christie administration. It used to be a lot more accessible. So you would think with a Democratic leadership, House and Assembly and Senate, that, well, you would think they would want to pretend that they were going to change from that lockdown state and allow people back in the State House. But they've actually just took it to an even higher level where, you know, we were all, a bunch of us were doing the poor people's campaign actions and you couldn't even get through the front door.
Yeah, it's true.
Fair. Which action was that? A 90-year-old woman was arrested?
Oh, she gets arrested. She's been arrested a number of times. I got arrested with her. She's a comrade of Carol Gay's friend.
So it might have
she
been
comes
one
in
of the
a wheelchair all the time
campaign,
to get arrested, and the
or...
cops just look and go, oh, God damn it. Like, they don't want to arrest this woman. She's awesome. Yeah, she's a great actress.
Okay,
great
shout
actress.
Out to 90-year-old arrestees.
Oh, we got to get her name. Come on, this isn't fair. She'd be proud of it, too.
Okay,
Barry,
we'll
look her up.
Her, but
look
I just,
her up. That
I
ain't right, man. She wants. I know she wants her name.
Our senior.
Rena Amada. Rena Amada.
Rena
that's right.
Amada.
That's right. Love her.
Thank you, Rena.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for your service.
All right. South America. South America. Hey. We have to skip around. We're gonna get
no
into
problem.
This long conversation about vaccines
no
in a minute.
No problem. I'll keep it to.
But let's give some background here. You gotta get a little pomp and circumstance, man. You don't have to rush right into it.
Oh, okay. No, I don't know. No problem.
Yeah, please introduce him. Come on, man. Nobody
so
knows
we'll
who you are.
We'll introduce formally as we start the panel all of our panelists. But right now, our. Our in-house Latin American politics guys, Christian Perez, political science professor and conspiracy theorist expert, as well as Latin American politics expert. Okay, so give us an update.
Thank you, Diane. Thank you. Thanks again for having me. So I'll keep it quick this time. I feel like I was just saying to Diane before I came on here, we always try to devote 90 seconds to making fun of Juan Guaido. Those of you that were paying attention to the news this week saw that he got arrested. He didn't get arrested. I'm sorry. God forbid he hasn't been arrested yet. But he was trying to get into the legislative building, trying to get into the legislative meeting, and he was kind of pushed out. And you quickly saw the mainstream media saying, you know, this is democracy getting shut down. This is democracy. You know, this is the strong man, Maduro, the tyrant, and so on and so forth. And it's interesting because I'm sitting there going, arrest this guy, you know, smack him, do something. And this guy's running around causing all these problems. Meanwhile, you look at what's going on in Bolivia, where the other side has power. Where you see attacks on old women who are elected officials, you see people getting shot at, you see racism coming back, institutionalized racism, Christian fundamentalism coming to power. So if you are a Venezuelan and you look at the news, all you really have to do is see what would happen if someone like Guaido comes to power in your country, right? You could look at Brazil, you could look at the Amazon burning, you could look at the president or the acting president of Bolivia, you know, mocking Indians, them talking about, you know, how they're going to, you know, whatever it is, exercising, whatever racist language they were using. So it's interesting. You got to follow the narrative. I always kind of catch myself watching mainstream media. I love when they're giving it to Trump. And then all of a sudden it's, oh, by the way, we support all his foreign policies. And, you know, we're going to keep messing with Latin American countries. So that's incredibly frustrating. But again, if you want to know what Venezuela would be like under a Guaido administration, all you have to do is look at Bolivia and you see actual violence in the streets. And when they talk about tyrants coming out of Venezuela, you see it actually happening on behalf of a right-wing government in Bolivia. Same thing in Brazil. It's misdirection, misinformation. I was just talking with Lori about that. And then I'm actually going to be on an upcoming episode of Wine, Women, and Revolution with Heather. And we talk about the history of American interventions.
That's good. When is that coming out?
She hasn't told me yet. Hopefully within the next month or so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you don't know what he's talking about, Wine Women and Revolution is our sister program on New Jersey Revolution Radio. I do NJR Live once a week, and my comrade Heather Warburton, who co-owns this network,
great show,
does Wine Women and Revolution, which she gets some wonderful guests talk about art and social justice and activism and all kinds of stuff. So check her out. She debuts a podcast on our network every other Monday. So thanks a lot. Back to you. I'm sorry, I had to plug. You know my job, right?
Yeah. I believe it's been a while now that the arrest warrant was put out for Evo Morales, but Interpol was asked to effectuate. But yeah.
I mean, he's not going anywhere. Last I checked, I believe he was originally he went to Argentina and Interpol went there, but now he's in Mexico. Mm-hmm. And the current president of Mexico, Andrés Manuel López Obrador, he's a liberal. He's a left liberal. He's a lefty, so he will, you know, keep an eye on Morales for now. But I mean, that doesn't mean anything for the future. Morales's future is still uncertain. A conservative government in Mexico could very much just pack him on a plane and send him back. So, you know, he's a guy that's probably going to be looking over his back for the next couple of years. And, you know, he is still by far the most popular politician in Bolivia.
Yeah. So, well, Christian will keep us updated as we go. Okay.
All right. So now we get to do commercials, which are my favorite part. They're becoming my favorite part, especially because we got a new sponsor. And I got to unmute my thing here because it's not going to work unless I unmute. Here we go. There we go. We'll try that again. We can't edit that out, right? That's better. So we have a new sponsor tonight. And I get really excited. We do a sponsorship table when we're back in the studio. We'll have a little workbench with a hammer and sickle on it. And if you give us a little bit of money, we'll put your product or talk about your book. Lori has been on the sponsorship table with her books before. The Coffee House here in Edison has been there before. Intuitive Touch Massage is still on the sponsorship table this month. They do a great job. They're up in the Montclair, Essex County area. Their website is linked to ours. You'll find them as sponsors of our events and stuff. So check them out. It's one of those services where they can come to your home with a table and give you a massage. He's a comrade of ours, Jamar, out of the New African Black Panther Party. This is his business. And so we like to support each other as comrades. So check them out. And tonight's very exciting sponsor is Noble Smoke Shop down in Point Pleasant Beach. Noble's sells Kratom. Kratom is a tea that a lot of opiate addicts are. And we can't make any claims as to their efficacy. They're not, we're not medically licensed to say so. But these are classified as herbal supplements. And this is a place where you can find the best variety, probably in New Jersey, along with CBD, oils, vaping products, a really big selection of cigars, and all kinds of stuff. New Jersey Revolution Radio is working with Noble Smoke Shop. We've got a new website coming out for them because that's part of what we do here at New Jersey Revolution Radio. We do website design. We do a lot of other stuff. And we do it when people support us. We don't do it for everybody. Clearly, we do it for small businesses. There are no large corporations reaching out to help us build this network right now. So we need you. If you're a person that can donate a little bit of money, great. But if you've got a small business or an organization looking to be a part of New Jersey Revolution Radio, sponsorship is a great way to help us spread good news and you know, get yourself and your own work out there. So thanks a lot. Diane, did you have anything to plug before we get out of the commercial segment?
Our comrade Margaret Kimberly has a book coming out. You can pre-order it now. The book title is Prejudential: Black America and the Presidents. She is having a book release party on February 4th at the People's Forum in New York. So hope to see you all there. And pre-order that book now.
All right. There you go. Margaret Kimberly's book. She was on New Year's Day. Came in. Well, didn't come in. Was on the was on the Zoom room or the StreamYard or whatever we're doing nowadays. And talked to us about that book. And she's awesome and a real hero of ours. So, Margaret, good luck with that book and the release and everything else. So now we're going to move along. And I want to, I'm going to hand this off to you, Diana, in a minute because I'm too aggravated to talk about this.
Oh, you're going to jump into the discussion as well.
No, I'm not. I'm going to sit here and play with my new toys and put banners across the screen, beg people for money on the internet. But I will, as usual, I'll just introduce a little bit by saying a little bit about, you know, my experiences with this thing. And my experiences, I've completely avoided this topic. And I've deliberately avoided it leading up to this stupid vote because I didn't want to give credit to any of this nonsense. And I really felt like it would be bad for everybody if I gave them any more airplay than they were already getting. I really felt like it wouldn't be taken seriously and I can only help. And I was wrong because that thing didn't pass. The bill didn't pass. And I'll let everybody get into the specifics of what didn't pass and why it didn't pass. But as all I can say is, you know, since I came out and then when I saw this, all right, I got to take a stand because I've always been very pro-vaccination. I have five children. I vaccinate them constantly. I do everything the doctors tell me to do. My line has been, if you have an issue about vaccination, if you have a health concern, if your child has something that for some reason can't get vaccinated for, talk to your doctor and listen to your doctor. Don't talk to your yoga teacher and don't talk to the lady who's selling you crystals to put in some orifice to cure cancer. That shit doesn't work. All right. Doctors know what's going on. So if you want to put crystals somewhere, fine, but talk to your doctor about it. All right. That's all I'm saying. And the doctor will probably tell you that the crystals are safe, but you should get vaccinated too. All right. So that's all I'm saying. And I'm going to hand it off to people who are way more professional and level-headed about this issue than I could ever be. But I want to thank all our experts for being here tonight. Joining us for remotely, of course, is our comrade, Kim Might. I want to make sure we can hear her. Kim, can you hear us?
Kim's on.
All right, that's all I'm saying. And Dr. Kim, can you hear us over there?
She's
not responding.
So that's all I'm saying. I'm going to hand it off to people who are way more professional.
That's her on the other end.
Level-headed about this issue than I could ever be.
Where are we here?
Again, I want to thank all our.
No, she shouldn't have a delay though because she's linked.
I want to make sure we can hear her. Kim, can you hear us?
Yeah, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
She is on that delay. Are you getting your through the stream?
Not really.
No, you're listening on Facebook and that's why you're delayed. You're answering me about 10 minutes after I ask you a question. So if you can get your audio from the stream, that'll help. We'll introduce the rest of our panel. Why don't we start there? And Kim, when it makes sense, we'll join you in. But Kim Might is on the stream and Diane, I'll help allow you to do it.
So with us this evening.
Yeah, we're a little bit delayed.
Yeah.
Not really.
No, you're listening on Facebook.
I can't hear.
Okay, because I'm hearing it's because of South Jersey.
South Jersey.
Yeah,
it's South Jersey. It's not her fault.
Yeah, that's way down south, below the Mason-Dixon line. Okay, but we could also move this mic around as well. Okay, so in this discussion, Christian Perez is going to stay with us because he is our resident conspiracy theorist. Not. Okay, he's not the conspiracy theorist. He is the conspiracy theory expert.
Thank you.
So Christian will remain for our discussion.
Thank you.
We have Siobhan Torres with Black Lives Matter New Jersey. You're also a national rep. Mm-hmm. You've been in activism for 25 years. You helped coordinate since you were an infant. and I want to say thank you for your service because you were one of those. Am I allowed to say?
Yeah, you can say it now.
One of the brave activists on the bridge in Texas.
I don't know what's going on. I can't hear what's going on.
Stopping the oil
refineries in Houston.
In Houston.
It's the largest port in the country and the second largest in the world.
Wow. Wow. Thank you. So we'll have to talk later because that just looked amazing. And I found out later that you guys were hanging out there for a lot longer than I realized.
18
so.
Hours.
Wow.
I know.
I guess snipers and we'll talk later. But Siobhan is with us to talk about is your perspective that you're going to bring with us
my
to
perspective,
us this evening?
And I appreciate Brian saying that I'm professional, but not so much. I'm here to speak about how the anti-vaxxers are basically using black and brown bodies to excuse their shitty behavior and their shitty logic. So,
okay. Okay. Yep. thank you for being with us, for joining us in person this evening. And we have Lori Endicott Thomas. She is an author of the book, No More Measles. So although you'd like to see an end to vaccination, it is not through the immediate stopping of the use of vaccines. It is about eradicating the illnesses so that we no longer have to use the vaccines, correct?
Right. Once a disease that occurs only in human beings is extinct, then we stop vaccinating against it. We stopped vaccinating against smallpox in the United States in 1972, because smallpox was on the road to complete eradication worldwide. We've switched to the killed vaccine for polio here in the United States because polio is no longer spreading. The live version keeps it from spreading.
Okay.
As long as you don't have it spreading anymore, you can switch to this killed vaccine, which prevents paralysis, but it doesn't keep polio from spreading. Mm-hmm. Once polio is eradicated worldwide, we won't need to vaccinate anybody against it. So what I want to do is make vaccinations obsolete by making the diseases that they're supposed to protect us against extinct.
Okay.
So, and it's a complicated idea, but okay. There it is.
Okay. And now I'll start this off as saying I'm not a medical expert. I was vaccinated. My daughter was vaccinated. I get the flu shot every year. I'll give a quick little tiny story because it relates to herd immunity, but just in regards to the flu vaccine. I am somebody who likes to limit my use of medications, as we can even talk about. The government has messed up in the past. We have had problems with pharmaceutical companies withholding information. I had my own issue with, I have an arrhythmia, and years back I was on a very strong medication. It's so strong you actually have to be hospitalized for a time for them to monitor you. Side effects of the medication are so severe, you can actually die. So they keep you in the hospital. And years later, I found out from another doctor, because, they tried to do I guess it's invasive surgery. I like to kind of downplay things. I've had attempts at fixing the arrhythmia that had failed. And, going to experts, doctors would tell me, go see this one, go down to Camden. And I'm in North Jersey, go down here. And I had one doctor right away saying, oh, my God, how long have you been on this med? What happens is some meds, they don't think much of them when they're giving them to older folks. But I started the med when I was 25, started, being aware of the problem when I was 15. This medication could cause drug-induced lupus. So, we took off that med, did some other things, yada, yada. My perspective is I know that every vaccine has side effects. Every medication has side effects. And then you have to outweigh the side effects to what you're trying to prevent.
Yeah.
Colonoscopies. You can get tears in your colon. That can be fixed. Better than colon cancer, right? So it's all checks and balances. So yeah. I can understand that, there is some, that wasn't necessarily something that there was a big scandal with a pharmaceutical company hiding this problem, but I didn't know. I was on it for years.
Yeah.
That this problem, there's many drugs, cholesterol medications, you're on them long-term. There can be organ failure, things like that. So I get some concern, some wariness, but I was just learning earlier today that it wasn't until the late 50s, early 60s that we had the measles vaccine. And I had no idea that even in the 50s, hundreds of children were dying a year from the measles.
Yeah, so there's a couple things I want to talk about before I hand it off over here. There was a factoid that I came across from UNICEF saying that vaccines save 9 million people a year. 9 million lives a year. So just keep that in the back of your head. Second of all, I mean, nothing we create is ever going to be perfect. It's never going to be a perfect system or a perfect car or a perfect tool. There's always going to be side effects. But from what I found looking at vaccines, we're talking anywhere from 1 in 100,000 to 1 in 1 million doses or cases. Do you have something where there's serious, serious side effects? Somebody ends up getting hurt or sick or something like that, which points to the need for the herd immunity.
Yeah.
So I will say yes. Are vaccines invasive? Yes. I think that they could be considered invasive, but we need to kind of take a step back and look at how the vaccine argument is framed, because some people will say, well, you know, look, it's the government and they're mandating that I put this stuff in my body. And if you want to look at it that way, I guess you can interpret it that way. But when you break down what the government is, and we've talked about that, it's actually just, you know, millions of people. And in this case, it's not the government, it's doctors. And it's millions of doctors globally telling us that vaccines work. So there's a couple things you could take in from that. Number one, vaccines, does anybody know the percentage of the pharmaceutical industries that vaccine sales actually make up? Does anybody want to give me a number? Go ahead, Tom. 2.5 to 3%.
Wow.
So even though it's a multi-billion dollar industry, I've heard numbers as high as 24 billion, it's only a fraction of what pharmaceutical companies are making in terms of sales. Wow. So the question we need to ask ourselves is, do you want to trust the doctors who are telling you take the vaccine, or do you want to get sick later and depend on a corrupt healthcare and pharmaceutical industry to sell you their medication and give you their nonsense? Yeah. Right. So in terms of vaccines, it might be invasive, but you're nipping a problem in the bud now that you're not going to have to deal with later. So it's using your body's natural immune system to fight a problem, as opposed to, you know, if you were afraid of, you know, toxic chemicals or drugs or whatever it is like that, you don't have to deal with that later.
It's nipping it
in the bud. Vaccines, before the smallpox vaccines, smallpox was killing half a million people a year in the 1800s. So if you look at the time period and the population at the time, as we were saying, that's a lot. That's significantly more than it would be in 2019. Lori, you want me to pass it off to you? Any?
Yeah, sure. I cover a lot of things in my book, No More Measles.
Mm-hmm.
One of them.
Is the audio enough?
Is that enough?
Yeah, that's okay. Better. Yeah.
Okay. I talk about a lot of different things in No More Measles. I talk about why we need the vaccines, and also why we have an anti-vaccination movement.
Yeah.
Why we need the vaccines. There are billions of species of bacteria on Earth. There are millions of different kinds of viruses. Very few of them pose any threat to your health. Mm-hmm. Only a teeny tiny percentage of those germs are what they call pathogens, something that can cause a disease. The ones that do, the ones that pose a threat to your health, are specifically adapted to reproducing in your body. Mm-hmm. That they use us for food and shelter. And of those, only a tiny fraction are things that keep your doctor awake at night worrying about.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them is measles. Now, the reason why measles is so dangerous is because it goes viral. It is one of the most contagious diseases known.
Outbreak.
Okay. Yeah. If somebody with measles sat in this coffee shop and coughed and then walked out and you walk in 2 hours later,
still there,
you can catch the measles from that person who has not been there for two hours.
Mm-hmm. And they use the bathroom. They might not have washed their hands. They touch the doorknob. It's all over the coffee house.
Yeah, and it spreads very, very fast.
Yeah.
So now, also, at the time when the person is walking around spreading this illness, they look and feel as if they have a common cold, because the measles starts off as a respiratory infection, and it affects the upper respiratory tract. So it looks and feels like a common cold. It makes you cough. Mm-hmm. So you're spreading these virus-laden droplets all over the place.
All over the place before you even know what you have.
So you've been sick for a while, and then you get really sick.
Yeah.
Because the problem with measles is it's learned to hijack the immune system.
Yeah.
So instead of the white blood cells called macrophages that are supposed to be killing the measles virus, make more copies of the measles virus.
Mm.
So then after it infects your respiratory system, it infects your immune system.
Mm.
And the sum of your immune system cells, you know, they carry it to the lymph nodes. Now, the lymph nodes normally kill viruses, but instead of killing the measles virus, the lymph nodes make more copies of it.
Wow.
So then you get really sick. You spike this hellacious fever.
Yeah.
Now, eventually, most people who get the measles do recover from it. Mm-hmm. And then they have lifelong immunity to the measles. But while the measles was infecting your immune system, it was killing off your B memory cells. Your B memory cells are like the hard drive for your immune system.
Wow.
So this is why people have a higher risk of dying of infectious diseases of various kind for 2 years after they've had the measles.
Wow.
So it's before there was HIV, which suppresses the immune system. There was measles, which suppresses the immune system.
As well. Wow.
HIV kills off your CD4 cells.
Mm-hmm.
Measles kills off the B memory cells. It kills off a different subset, but it suppresses the immune system. And that's why measles is so dangerous. And that's why I want to eradicate it. Hashtag no more measles.
Yeah. And then we don't need the vaccine. But until then.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Now, the thing that I just explained to you, medical doctors know this.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I have complained in print before that doctors don't learn enough about nutrition in medical school. We all know that.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's a different issue.
Yeah.
They learn a lot about infectious disease. Doctors do a very good job at managing infectious disease, which is why it used to be that infectious diseases were our major causes of death. Now, if you look at the major causes of death, the only one that's infectious is influenza and pneumonia.
Mm.
So most of our major causes of death and disability are non-infectious at this point.
Yeah.
So do get your vaccinations as your doctor recommends. If he thinks one is not for you, because like a live vaccine is not for people who are pregnant and not for,
the flu shot has different modes for delivery. And I know we're talking about the herd immunity for the measles shot. Because of my history and wariness somewhat of pharmaceuticals and avoiding medications, but I know sometimes you have to take medications and you do. I one time gave my doctor a little bit of a look years ago when she wanted to give me a flu shot. And I'm like, isn't there nasty stuff in there? I'm a vegan, you know? And that, but what she did is she knew how to get me. At that time, I was a legal services attorney. I had practiced in legal services for over 14 years, and she knew exactly, because we got to know each other well over the years, and she knew what would get me. She's like, okay, Diane, if not for you, do it for your clients and their children. And I'm like, darn. Go again. It's not just about you. It's about the community.
That's right.
Oh, so you need us. Herd immunity. Oh, Mike. So,
My bad, Annette. My bad.
So you need us to get it, to protect you.
I have sickle cell, which compromises my immune system.
Okay.
So a 2 or 3 day cold for you will actually trigger a crisis in me, and I'll be sick for 2 to 3 weeks or 2 to 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
I actually had a bad reaction to a flu shot. And this is how I knew I was that's how we found out I wasn't able to take the shot. I was actually in the hospital. Shout out to Methodist Hospital in New York. I was in a hospital for over 3 months because it triggered.
Wow.
It was a chain reaction. I had a reaction from the shot. Then it triggered my sickle cell crisis, which triggered my pancreatic issues. And it was a cycle all over and over again. So I did between me and my son, who also has a medical condition, we depend on these herd immunities. This is literally saving my life. At one point, I was 24 years old. I think we talked about before I started. My son went to school, and he went to school with a child who wasn't immune, didn't get the vaccines, and came home and brought the chickenpox virus. And I had the chickenpox virus before when I was younger, but what I didn't know was the virus laid dormant in my spinal cord. So I ended up having the shingles and the chickenpox at the same time.
At the same time.
Shinglepox. That's pretty much what I had. Shinglepox.
And that's very painful.
It's very painful.
And you have sickle cell.
And I had sickle cell, which again caused another crisis.
With
and that's because a parent decided to bring their walking petri dish to the school and affected my son, and my son brought it home.
Wow. And I want to thank you for bringing up that correlation, because not that long ago, I even said, oh, kids, we didn't get the chicken pox vaccine. Why do we need it? But it's these stories we don't always hear. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I didn't even make that connection. Yeah, so thank you.
I appreciate it. And I appreciate everybody that does get their vaccines, mm-hmm. because it's extremely important to people like us. With sickle cell, the average lifespan for a person with sickle cell is 42 years old. Mm. And that's if you're lucky. Mm. Right now, I'll be 40 this year.
Okay.
But I would like to have those extra 2 years instead of sitting there in the hospital in pain because somebody didn't immune their child or somebody's so against it. Your parents gave you the shot. Give it to your child.
Yeah.
Stop thinking about yourself.
Yep.
And one thing that really pisses me off about the anti-vaxxers is because now they're trying to use it as it's a classist thing, or they're discriminating against Black and brown kids, but they don't think about the Black and brown kids that don't have insurance.
Yeah.
And if they end up getting affected with measles or somewhere, and if Lord forbid, if they pass, are they going to pay for the funeral for the people that can't afford to bury their child? Mm. Are they going to take care of the medical expenses, which family's going to have to, and so on and so forth, because they decided they wanted to go into a public place and affect other people. Mm. And this is what really upset me about this law that didn't pass, because they're going to claim religious rights not to get vaccinated.
Mm-hmm.
But I do remember we are supposed to have a separation of church and state, and public schools is a state funded school. So if you're going to do that, you cannot, then on top of that, you got to do everybody's religion. And then if you implement that in the schools, what about the ones that are atheists? What are the ones that practice Santeria? What about the ones that are Islam? Are you going to allow these children to pray five times a day? You can't cherry pick what ones you want to follow, which ones you don't. But at the end of the day, is if you're doing it for your religion and God said you're supposed to love everybody like yourself, why don't you love the next person enough to get the shot and keep them going and let them survive, let them have a chance?
Yeah. So. And I recently discovered as well that, I have heard, and I want to be a little bit gentle on the anti-vaxxers because it's misinformation and it's so hard to get accurate information. But I think there is a lot of misinformation with this growing movement because there's a misconception that, oh, well, you know, if enough of all of you, what does it matter if my child doesn't have it? But with the measles outbreak in California, the vaccine rates really only had to drop to 92.3%. New Jersey right now is at 94.2%. So we're not that far away. And California had outbreak, hundreds of children getting it, even some children who were vaccinated. Because it's about building up the herd immunity. You can still get these illnesses with the vaccines, but the more of us that have it, it decreases. Yeah.
In this latest measles outbreak, there was a flight attendant on LL, I believe it was.
She
died.
Wow.
She died of the measles.
I didn't know that.
And I think she'd had only one shot, but she died. And there were, I think it was 56 people hospitalized, 16 of them in intensive care.
Wow.
So, I mean, if you're going to be allowing your child to get this disease, you could bankrupt yourself.
Yeah.
Your child could end up blind. This disease can cause blindness. It can cause deafness. It can cause mental retardation. Mm. And even if the child gets it when they're too young to be vaccinated, they may seem fine. And then when they're in their teenage years, they start to stumble and they start to lose their coordination. And then there's this condition called subacute sclerosing panencephalitis, which is a long-term measles infection of the brain. It's just this relentless, progressive thing. That child is going to progress to coma and death right in front of you, and there's not a thing you can do about it. So SSP will go extinct. after measles goes extinct, because it happens in children who get the measles before they're too young, when they're too young to be vaccinated.
Wow. And again, if a child is too young to be vaccinated, we go back to the herd immunity. The more of us that are vaccinated, we're protecting people that can't, because we will keep the medically required exemption, because some children can't have it for medical reasons. And then the children that are too young will be protected. Yeah.
I did say I wouldn't jump in, but I smoked a little hash so I would be calm before I said this. And I feel better participating in the conversation. Okay. But no, well, Diane touched on the misinformation out there. And one of the things, you know, I've looked into recently and is SEO and search engines work and things like that. And, we all have heard about the Cambridge Analytica scandal and how we use data and stuff. Now, if you Google vaccines or vaccine safety, mm-hmm. or what happens when you get a vaccine, take a look at the results. And you really realize the impact and the importance of how search engines and how this technology shapes our society, because it's nothing but garbage. It really is. And what these anti-vaxxers have done is, because SEO can be manipulated, and I do it for New Jersey Revolution Radio. Anybody that has a website tries to manipulate their website to get the best traffic possible. Well, these anti-vaxxers have mastered it. And when you talk about the misinformation, I think it translates in a very real way. And it was impact, because Democracy Now! It just happened to do a report on Cambridge Analytica. And as I was watching that report, my brain put these two things together. Like, the direct result, why they're so well organized, apparently, is not that they have organization and groups. It's that they're connected through media. And they're connected through social media very well.
And I bet you, because they've talked about that, it has been a growing phenomenon of people that are becoming anti-vaxxer or like anti-vaxxer curious. And I think it is because of this, the social media connections, just like we were talking, you know, back in 2016, there was misinformation on all sides. So we're having that today. And there's also a I think a misconception, because we're talking about a problem with information and getting the wrong information, but they say the demographic for this growing movement is white women, very educated. And
that's why it was California.
They've done their research.
That was the issue with California.
I have a law degree. I don't have a medical degree. So, you know, they also talk about it. It's women who have to make these decisions, because even when you are in a two-parent household, women tend to do the medical appointments.
Why don't we ask Kim? Why don't we ask Kim? Kim hasn't been able to jump on this. She's been.
No.
We finally got her microphone working in real time.
Hi, Kim. Can you hear us?
Yes, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. So one of the things that you guys were touching on is not only when children don't get vaccinated, they are not being able to be seen at a pediatrician's office, because a lot of pediatricians now will not refuse to see children that don't get vaccinated. So now, for a moment,
we have Kim Mike with us. We haven't given her an intro. You are a vaccinator. So in a medical office, and you get to vaccinate these crying, adorable little babies and toddlers. We're sad when they cry, but we want them to be healthy. So go ahead. Sorry, Kim. Continue.
Yeah, so one of the things that I wanted to bring up is now that they don't get vaccinated, so a lot of pediatricians are refusing to see these kids. So that's a big problem right there, because pediatricians don't want to bring unvaccinated kids into their office, which you can understand. So now these children are not getting vaccinated. Some of them may not be seeing a pediatrician who can check their milestones, which helps them along in life to check, you know, for different, you know, problems, whether, you know, there may be a speech problem, a delay in walking and all this, you know. So being a family practice, we do see some kids now that we do see that don't get vaccinated. And one of our doctors, what they do is, you know, every time the child comes in, they keep on bringing up the vaccine. Vaccines are safe, you know, vaccines. And then hopefully we will get that parent to vaccinate their kids. Because it, like you said, it is education. And unfortunately, there is too much mass media out there that's totally, you know, making vaccines seem wrong. Unfortunately, a lot of celebrities were into this. and because they had kids that were born because they had kids later on that had autism. And I can understand being a parent and having a child with a disability is probably, I don't have one. My children are healthy, thank God. Mm-hmm. But having a child with a disability, you want to blame it on something.
Yeah.
And to blame it on a vaccine is, you know, it's really, you can't. You know, and that's why MMR, like you said, always the one that everybody blames autism on. Because one thing, when kids get the MMR shot, they get it around the time when autism is diagnosed.
And when it comes out.
Yeah, so that's why MMR is the bad rap.
I know a lot of us are probably aware of, because we've been lightly researching this issue and we're not experts. I am not a medical professional, but there was an article in The Lancet, which is a trusted medical journal, in 1998 that made a random correlation between the, as you're saying, the time that the MMR, measles, mumps, and rubella vaccination is given, also just happens to be the time that these symptoms come out if you have autism spectrum disorder. And it's important to note that that doctor was being funded by attorneys of parents who were suing pharmaceutical companies. And when this information came out, that article was pulled. I am on the left. We're on the political left. And we have people in our community who, and Christian can speak to this more at another time, even because I know we're running out of time. And, you know, we can all coexist and get along and have differences of opinion and differences of, you know, of, but, you know, I'm an attorney. And one thing someone joked with me years ago when I went to law school, that law school wrecks your brain because you, and I'm joking, you now need evidence for everything. Well, yeah, you know, if children are going to die because of not getting vaccines, you're going to have to prove to me that there's a reason my child can't get a vaccine. Same thing with 9/11 truthers. You're going to have to. I'm so sorry, Siobhan. Go ahead, jump in.
I wanted to talk about, because you're talking about this, the whole fire hosing that the anti-vaxxers have been using, like just throwing out lies and disinformation. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to touch briefly on how it affects the Black community.
Yeah.
Because for one thing, a lot of Black people do not trust the doctors. Mm-hmm. Because from Tuskegee experiment, from Henrietta Lacks, from all things, and like me personally, from, like I said, sickle cell, I'm always in a hospital. Mm-hmm. I've been told that I needed an emergency C-section for my son, and the doctor refused to do it unless I got my tubes tied. So it was either I had to get my tubes tied or my child would die. And these are things that Black and brown people go through all the time in medical. These are supposed to be professionals. And in the graduating class of 2016, medical graduating doctors still believe, about 50% of them still believe, that Black people don't feel as much pain as white people. And because of this, and because of our experiences with the health field, when these anti-vaxxers are coming in saying, oh, well, this is what's going on in your community because of these doctors, and you know they're racist anyway. Mm. And because that little kernel of truth is in there, it starts bringing doubts into the Black community. And that's something that really upsets me about the anti-vaxxers, because the anti-vaxxers essentially are anti-Black.
I never thought of that.
I'm going to say it. They're anti-Black, because if they're going to sit there and knowing and preying on our insecurities and our cautions because of the medical field, and they're using that to push their own agenda, that's an example of their own privilege. Mm-hmm. And they're using black and brown bodies.
Yeah.
And they don't give a damn about the Black and brown bodies.
Yeah.
They don't care about us as long as they get what they want.
Yeah.
And that is what I wanted to make sure I put across today, that if you're an anti-vaxxer, you're actually anti-Black. And I'm not going to, I'm unapologetically Black. I'm going to tell you to your face, you're anti-Black, because you're using our fear of something that's actually real, that really happens to Black folks in this country to push your false narrative.
Yeah.
And that's complete bullshit. And you know better, and you need to do better. Yeah. And if ain't nobody going to tell you, Siobhan's going to tell you. You're full of shit. You need to knock it the hell fuck off.
Well, thank you for that.
There it is.
I never made that correlation before. And then, you're using a legitimate history to just say, be afraid, don't vaccinate your children. And we're talking about the need for herd immunity. There's children with compromised immune systems that you're putting at risk.
We did really pretty good on time, and I would say we still have about a minute for every guest to wrap it up. So I told everybody they were going to be rushed towards the end. We are, yeah, but we've got a good minute for everybody to get out what they need to get out before we wrap it, Diane. All right, so go ahead and do your
thing. So we could do this in order of Kim.
Yeah, so one thing I want to bring up is important for adults to do is before you have a new baby in your household, make sure you get your pertussis, your whooping cough vaccine. This is something that I don't know if a lot of people know about, but babies don't get vaccinated till they're 2 months of old. And there's been cases where adults have been passing on whooping cough to babies. So I want to make sure that we tell the adults before you have a new baby in the house, whether you're going to be the parent, a grandparent, or a caretaker, get your whooping cough pertussis shot.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Christian.
All right. So like I said, I'm going to be on an upcoming episode of Wine Women Revolution with Heather. If you can check that out, I'd appreciate it. Also, I wanted to just piggyback on what Siobhan said. With conspiracy theories, it's always important because what they do is they take a kernel of truth and they piggyback on that. They play on your fear and then they expand upon that. So yeah, there is a history of institutionalized racism in this country. Let's prey on that fear to swindle, you know, black people into not trusting authority further. Not even authority, but just science, scholars, doctors, and so on and so forth. And also in the 1950s, it was a really right-wing movement that pushed anti-vax conspiracies. They were against all kinds of public health initiatives. They said it was socialism. So there's a creepy right-wing history to it also.
Creepy connections. Yeah.
The left should be the constituency for public health. Mm-hmm. The left should be driving public health. Mm-hmm. And when you hear somebody who's trying to, you know, give some sort of like anti-vax message or something, mm-hmm. look them up on PubMed and see if they have any scientific publications to their name. They generally have none.
Yeah. Get the science, get the facts.
Okay. I know some of the so-called facts that they're pushing, the mm-hmm. articles about anti-vaxxing actually come from Breitbart.
Oh,
and they're actually
check your sources.
Yes. And they actually messaged BLM asking for assistance and cited that source. So I'm like, are you telling me a place of news? White supremacist outlet that don't give a damn about black folks are saying, oh, we care about black people all of a sudden? Like, no. And the thing is, you don't have to be a doctor and go to medical school just to understand basic science. Mm-hmm. I'm sure you made it to eighth grade. And if not, I'm going to put a little plug in. There's a little anime called Cells at Work, and which I did show my kids. And basically, this is a Japanese anime, and it's about how the immune system works. It talks about the macrophages, the T cells, the killer T cells, lymph nodes, the red blood cells, white blood cells. And it's easier for people to digest. So you don't have to be a child to watch it. Mm-hmm. I love anime anyway. But was something, if you got the basic knowledge of how the body works, then you'll be able to understand how vaccines are so important. Mm-hmm. And I would like to say that BLM stands on, we believe science. I'm sorry, I don't know what to tell you. Mm-hmm. We believe in science, we believe, and we need to see your sources. And if your sources is based on white supremacy, I'm not gonna be behind you.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah, so check your sources, get vaccinated. I even had to, I guess I think it was my early 30s, I had to get a booster measles shot. I did it because it's all about the herd immunity, and just a few more deviations down in our vaccination numbers and we can have outbreaks in New Jersey. And we have to protect people like Siobhan and medically vulnerable people. It's even if it's not for you, do it for your community. Thank you.
I want to thank everybody for coming out. All right. Can you hear me? No, I can't hear myself. I'm deaf, though. That's why
I can hear you.
I know. Okay. I do want to thank everybody for coming out tonight. Lori, Siobhan, Christian, Kim, thanks for being on the video chat. You know, this is an important issue, and I got to tell you, you know, I wish we'd come out with a little earlier. What happened was a disaster, but a new legislature just took hold today. I think we need to educate our individual communities. So wherever you have influence, you can point them to this live stream. You can point them to resources. You can contact us. And maybe you should talk to your doctor about vaccinations and listen to what they have to say. All right, so that's really my recommendation. We'll be back next week. Diane, I found housing guests. I've got a confirmed guest that knows about housing issues. We're going to talk about housing next week. I've been trying to get a housing guest for Diane for a couple of weeks now. I've been just a terrible producer for the last couple of weeks, but I finally got somebody. So next week, 8 p.m. Wednesday, Facebook, YouTube, Twitter. Until then, this is Brian Powers, and I want to remind all of you that the police can quit their jobs.
And I'm gonna hijack my closing with throwing out some events coming up. Saturday, January 25th, No War with Iran, downtown Newark, Market Street, and Springfield Avenue, 1-3. January 26th, very important, our friends with the Venezuelan Embassy Protectors are doing a fundraiser because we all know they're going to court in about another month. It's an insane case related to our crazy friend Guaido, who hasn't hopped that fence yet. So we have to protect our friends.
He's not getting in.
He's not getting in. He is not the president.
You ever seen those videos where the deer is stuck in a fence and then he gets out of the fence and then he runs right back into the fence and he's stuck again?
That's Guaido.
That's
so come support our friends at their fundraiser. You don't have to bring funds. You can also just learn about this insane case. So come down to 217 Nassau Street in Princeton, 1-3 p.m. And again, our February 21st through 23rd, the UNAC conference, which is the United National Anti-War Coalition. That is a three-day conference beginning on Friday evening at the People's Forum. So I expect to see you in the streets and see you at some of these events. Thanks for tuning in.